I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back to the Lantern Roof Cycling Podcast with Benji Nyson here for an incredible stage recap. Stage 7 of the Tour de France 2021 brought to you by Le Col, one of the craziest Grand Tour stages. Well, yeah, this is more memorable to me than any of the Giro stages. This was an incredibly long stage, 248 Ks. The first 150 Ks were pretty much flat, no categorized climbs, and then they get into some like 3Ks at 5%, 4Ks at 4%, 5Ks at 5%, 6Ks at 5.5% on Signal Duchamp, the last climb, Cat 2, but it had a descent in the middle and it's steep at the end, 1K at like 10, 11%. So you needed to be a good climber to, if you're in the break, to really finish this stage ahead. There was then a rolling climb afterwards. But yeah, finishing in Le Creusot, 248 Ks, it's going to, you know, be 6 hours on the bike, although they finished early today. But yeah, out the gate, Benji. Oh, remind people what we said in the preview and before was an option for Jumbo today, given that there's no climbs at the start of the stage, so it's really strong rouleurs who can get in this break.
Well, I didn't say it. You said it. It was full credit to you for the preview podcast we did. When it comes to stage seven, you said that this is the stage to put Van Aert in the breakaway to try and put pressure on a team like UAE to see how good Bjergen Sofov encounter a breakaway and an attack like that. If Van Aert is still closing GC, which was likely after the first week we just had. So that's a very interesting story because let us tell you how the stage unfolded. We started off actually right from the start, a lot of attacks in the peloton, and it was clear that two riders were instantly interested in going in the breakaway. At the front, we had your boy Van Aert trying to get in the breakaway. And a lot of riders as well. It wasn't directly Van Aert that tried to go for the initial attack. Just so many attempts, like at least 15 to 20 attempts before a final attack actually split up the group after a good 30, 40 kilometers at an insane pace at the start.
55 and it didn't stop from there. Average.
Oh, crazy. Honestly, crazy. That group that got away included a lot of riders. 29, including Van der Poel, Van Aert, Asgreen, Vincenzo Nibali, Thomas Quinn, so a teammate for Nibali. We've got Kro Andersen, Guerrero Mohoric, Bakelands Meurisse, which is a teammate of Van der Poel, Bonamour, Kort Nielsen, Hull, Simon Yates as well, Van Poppel, Gilbert, Van Baarle, a teammate for Ineos, the only rider from Ineos in the breakaway, Godon, Van Moer, Laporte, Campenaerts, Stuyven, again a teammate for Nibali. And we've got a few more riders, Mark Cavendish in the green jersey, Harry Sweeney, we've got Mike Tunison for Wout van Aert, Conrad and Erviti. And that's the full format of the breakaway.
Just a 30-man breakaway. And you might be asking, where were UAE? Why didn't they do anything? Well, okay, it looked like they weren't really ready for it at the front either. I didn't see Bjergen and Stecker Lang and their engines.
I think I saw one the second that the group was already like 30 meters ahead, that he panicked and went to the front of the peloton and started pacing. And that reaction was too late, because if you have 29 people with a good 30-meter, 40-meter gap that are riding to try and get away from you, and you're going to try and do it with Bjerg alone, that's not going to work out unless it stops. And then you're going to have to put your entire team at the front with UAE to try and crawl this back. And that's exactly what started happening. And it's exactly what you said was going to happen with Van Aert in the breakaway. Put pressure on UAE on the stage to see how strong they were. And the stage showed how strong they were.
I think UAE quickly, they held the gap. They were running absolutely full, everyone rotating like a 3 second, 4 second pull. The whole team on the front, except not Pagacci, wasn't pulling. So like Formolo, Hirschi, Rui Costa, Stecker Lang and Mikkel Bjerg, all rolling turns and Mika. And then they quickly realized they're holding it at 30 seconds and it's 40 seconds. And they're like, we are not going to be able to outpull a breakaway of 30 rouleurs, or maybe 20 rouleurs, 10 sort of climbing guys. So they quickly just were like, we're going to have to keep numbers. Remember, there's like 200 Ks left in the stage at this point. So 4 hours, 5 hours of racing. And so they decided to keep numbers, and that meant the brakes started, the gap started to go up very, very quickly. And yeah, that's the thing. If you let a brake, and this was obviously a plan. This wasn't just like, oh, wow, it slipped into a brake. He tried like three or four times, maybe more, and you saw him talking to MVDP as well. So brakes established, the gap is going out. UAE are then pacing at a pace where they can, they basically put Swapjerk and Stake Langen on this flat section and, yeah, try and keep numbers. I think the biggest gap, well, the biggest gap it got to, Benji, like 6:30 or 7 minutes or something? Yep.
6:30, and that Gab made sure that the GC virtually was looking completely upside down. Like, Van der Poel's at the front, so that wasn't exactly changing. But if you have that situation, then Van Aert is on 30 seconds in GC, second virtually. Asgreen, a minute 49 on third in GC virtually. Vincenzo Nibali on 2:55 onto fourth. And if you think at that moment that if the brake keeps cooperating and the gap continues to go on from 6:30 to 7:30, 8:30, if they cooperate, and if it goes to 10 minutes, then you might start thinking, how many minutes does a Van der Poel and a Van Aert and a Nibali mean need to get into GC contention here? And we started throwing it on Twitter, look at people's reactions and so forth. A lot of people were saying 10 minutes, 7 minutes, 12 minutes, stuff like that. I think that from that point onwards, I'm afraid the gap started tackling down, and for multiple reasons. But before we get to that, we had an intermediate sprint. Cavendish won the break, took 20 points. That's the end of the story there. So
No Sagan in the break, Benji. So Cav, I mean, on fire, getting in that break. And then remember, it's funny that him and Guerrero having issues. Guerrero seems to have issues with people. It's pretty hot. Oh, it wasn't too hot today. It's going to be getting a bit hotter as they get into the Alps. I think it's like 25 degrees top. If you are thinking of riding in the Alps in hot conditions, perhaps you want to check out our show partner, Le Col. They produce performance cycling apparel, and they've just launched their lightweight collection, which will help you stay cool in summer on long rides. It is made of breathable fabrics and lightweight materials. If you want to check out Le Col's kit, so they support the podcast, then you can use code LRTDF20, all caps LRTDF20, to get you 20% off Le Col items. But it wasn't just UAE pulling. It's Total Energy, Benji, also pulling because I guess they want Pierre Latour to come 12th on GC. They weren't really making too much of a difference, but that made no sense to me that Total Energy were contributing. But that sort of thing does happen. And I guess with that gap going out to so much, it meant that the breakaway being so big, other people decided to be passengers, because you've got Wout van Aert and Mathieu van der Poel in there. You know, if you don't care about GC, you're not going to get caught with a six-minute gap. You can sit on, and that's the problem with this break. And then when did you see the cooperation really start to disintegrate, Benji? Was it when Moric and Van Moer went for the KOM sprint?
Yes, with about 87K to go, that happened. Moric ended up winning the sprint against Van Moer because he launched like with 400 meters, and Moric just had a lead out by Van Moer, in all honesty. But from that point onwards, Moric looked back and thought, perhaps this can be like the final stage in Catalunya, where he worked together with Thomas again and then drops him on the final descent. So he looks back to Van Moer, gets Van Moer on his back, and they start riding as a duo from that point onwards, expanding their gap on the second group. Because, I don't know, the tactics in the second group, my mind, it goes beyond me. You've got Thurnesen, that waits so long to cooperate for Van Aert. He was sitting at the back of that group so long during the entire first half of the race. And it takes such a long time for him to take the front. And then he starts cooperating like 5 to 10 kilometers, after which he drops. So, yeah, I feel like Thurnesen wasn't really worth much today in that breakaway. And that's a bit of a bummer, because if you put anyone else, perhaps, well, then again, he crashed on day one. But, yeah, I don't know. It's still, if you can pace 10 kilometers afterwards on an important section as well, then perhaps do it earlier and don't let the gaps run out so much, for example. And if you can keep the cooperation going while attacks are ongoing, that's going to reduce the effect that it has on the time gap. Because if people keep attacking and then it slows down again, that's going to lower your time gap on the group behind. UAE keeps pacing. That's going to stay. And you've got Trek as well right there. Long story about that, right? Because not long after Van Moor and Mohoric, we had a move by Kampenaerts, who tried to bridge towards the front, and Stuyven jumped onto the wheel to join the front group. And I just think they made mistakes here today.
I mean, Trek, I think, completely just shut the bed today. They had three riders in the break. They, I think Pedersen said before the stage, they wanted to go for the stage with Jesper Stuyven, and then they have him bridging to Mohoric, not attack Mohoric. And when you look, like, Mohoric is so underrated. And you, this guy's come, what, top five in Liège last year, 10th this year, top tens multiple in Milano Sanremo. He's really good. And he's won the stage in the Giro and the Vuelta. And they bridged Stuyven to him, who, and we, you were saying it on Twitter, like we were discussing it, like, there's literally no way he doesn't get dropped on the Signal Duchamp. Literally no way he doesn't get dropped. And he got spat with a K to go on that. Once Mohoric has got a gap on you with that descent, game over. So they basically threw Stuyven up the road and then stopped pulling at all when Stuyven, I thought, had like no chance to win the stage at all. They've got Nibali, who wasn't going for GC, and listen, maybe he really doesn't have the legs and he'll lose like 30 minutes or something. Okay, granted. But they've been given this golden situation where they can gain like 10 minutes for free, perhaps. Maybe not 10, but 7 or 8 minutes. And now it's hard to lose a top 10 as a competent GC rider if they just keep pulling with Stuyven and cooperate. And I get with Lotto, Sudal attacking, they're not going for GC. They want to win the stage with Van Moor, Gilbert, or Harrick Sweeney. Makes sense. But Trek, the best rider I thought they had for the stage was Schoens. Tom Schoens is good in long, hard races. He said that himself. He's won Trevelli Varesine. That's Classico San Sebastian. He's been active. I thought he was their best rider to bridge with Mohoric. But, yeah. And then we had Benji with Trek. I'll finish the Trek point because I don't want to dwell on them too much. We had a point in the race where we had Stuyven in the front group, Nibali attacking out of group two to chase down the Stuyven group, Schoens kind of following him, and then Mollema at the front of the peloton behind. And I was like, are they just trying to get as many people on in front of each moto at the same time? So, yeah, I think they didn't really – they went for the stage.
Tactics.
Yeah, they went for the stage, but with the completely wrong person. And I think it's a complete parkour misevaluation from
there. Yeah, and even like you indeed posed the question, should they try and go for GC with Nibali? He said he wasn't going to go for it. If you have a golden situation like you mentioned where you're given so many potential minutes – I don't get why you don't try and use either Schoens or Stuyven to at least set the pace, because if you keep doing that while the attacks are ongoing, then you're not going to lose time to the peloton in that thing.
Exactly,
and
yeah.
you went from 7 minutes to 5 minutes in that group because there was no cooperation. If you have Schoens pacing there or keeping up the pace while others are just yodeling about a bit, well, then you can keep that on 7 minutes or even expand it. And that's not happening. And now you don't have a stage win. And now you don't have a GC bonus because of this, because you basically threw both away and you had a proper chance to do well for both.
So the cooperation group two completely disintegrates because of now this group of Kampenaerts, Stuyven, Van Moor, and Mohoric. That being said, the gap didn't come down too much. Yep. We saw Bjerg they start to get into the climbs now. Bjerg's done. Vegard Stecker-Lengen is done. Here she's pulling really early with like 90 kilometers to go. And that gap is not coming down despite, as Benji said, them yodeling about in this group two, the breakaway with Wout van Aert and Mathieu van der Poel, because UAE were cooked. They couldn't. They were just pulling for their life and just trying to hang on. So Mürsa eventually did start to pull with Van der Poel, but Van der Poel had to do a lot of work in that group. And that's the problem with these large breaks with passengers and with two high-profile riders in them. Riders like Søren Krah Andersen will not help you, and they didn't. Simon Yates barely helped, but they will attack you later. Same with Magnus Cort, etc. And that, listen, if I'm Magnus Cort and Søren Krah Andersen, of course, that's exactly what you should do because you don't care about the GC gap at all. But yeah, the gap was still like 5 minutes to 6 minutes, depending on whether they're on a climb or a descent. We were thinking, I thought the whole time, Benji, that Wout van Aert would go clear with MVDP and ride and just agree that Wout will not contest a stage win at all and ride it for GC, because that's the whole point of this move to put Pogacar under pressure. They didn't seem to really have, like, that didn't seem to be ironed out completely. but I've kind of got lost. I need to get a kilometer marker now. So chaotic. I think 74 Ks to go, 1 minute for the Van der Poel group, 6:11 for the Pogacar group, some cooperation with Mertesacker, Campenaerts dropping, and then let's skip forward to Signal du Champ, Benji, with Mohoric and Sturven and Wren van Moor. It was what we expected, right?
Yeah, indeed. Mohoric drops the rest. Quite simple as that. Stuyven was the last one to hang on, but it was still with like 1.2 kilometers towards the top. And that's the steepest part of it. It's 11%. It has peaks up to 18, according to some people on Twitter that I saw doing a recon themselves. So it's definitely a very, very difficult final kilometer, and it's going to hurt, and it's going to expand that gap in that final kilometer. So Mohoric is going to keep on expanding, and it's not like you're going to come back in the descend on Mohoric. So from that point onwards, you know, if Mohoric stays on his bike, Mohoric wins the stage. Quite simple as that.
Yep, and that's exactly what happened. He went clear, not that technical descent, but still technical enough. Patrick Conrad had attacked from behind. He'd actually started pulling the MVDP Wout van Aert group, actually coaxed them a bit into action. And Simon Yates was dropping out of that group. And it was Asgreen then taking over after Conrad, but they could never really get any purchase on Mohoric either. Eventually, I think Asgreen went clear in that Conrad group. Wout had attacked. It went. The cameras then changed back. We'll do GC group in a second. We'll finish with, I guess, the front group. It was Mohoric solo and clear. He's now won a stage in the Giro, the Vuelta, and the Tour de France. They've had their leader crash out in the Giro, Landa, and then they won a stage with Maida. They had Haig crash out of GC here, and now they've won a stage with Mohoric. So incredible work from Mohoric, and I think, perfect for this stage. I think he was a bit underrated by the break. But anyway, going back to, say, Asgreen and MVDP and Wout now, Benji, Wout and MVDP go clear. I think they're worried about losing the time gaps because you've been in the break for 230 Ks. You've had a seven-minute lead, and you're now thinking, oh, it's going to be like 1 minute, 90 seconds. That's a waste of our energy pretty much. Is that what you saw from Wout, just wanting to keep that gap at least to 3 minutes plus?
I think as well, Asgreen was just ahead in a group that just got away with court. So I think that's also a factor that they wanted to at least neutralize the possibility of Asgreen taking a minute and a half and taking yellow. I don't think that was possible at that point. But I indeed think that it's more your theory that they're trying to keep the peloton behind. Because in the peloton behind, stuff was happening. They were also on Signal du Champ at that point. And madness occurred as Ineos took the front. I think Pogacar had one teammate left. I think it was Micah that was left. And it was not UAE pacing anymore. Ineos had been taking over. And this is textbook stuff by Ineos. The entire stage, they let UAE eat their plate out. And the second that they can do an attack, they pace just before the attack. And they do that vigorously to drop every person of UAE, except for Micah there. And that worked out perfectly because nearing the top, they made a move. They made a move by first having Richie Port do a crazy tempo, Pogacar in the wheel, and then Carapaz attack just before the top, not far from the top. And while all this was happening, Van Baarle was still ahead from the breakaway. And at the back of the peloton, unfortunately, we had Roglic dropping.
Yeah, Roglic was dropping. We also saw Jonas Vingegaard had been... Jumbo-Visma's luck has been absolutely insane this first week. He's in the middle of the peloton on a climb, nothing going on. Peo Bilbao, he unclips his pedal or something, causes a stack. Vingegaard goes, crashes over Valverde, but gets up quickly. And, some will say it's random. Others will say Bahrain, do not forget, after the Gino made a Paris-Nice incident. But, I couldn't believe that the luck that Jumbo-Visma had been having, although they got Wout up the road. So, Ineos setting it up, I thought they would because they did so on Liège, similar finish with Richard Carapaz, yep. And they attacked with El Jaguar. El Jaguar de Tulcan bared his teeth today, attacking out of that group. No one reacts. Although we barely had any camera footage for quite a while. We knew that the camera was on random people for some reason. But, Carapaz attacks. He's got Van Baarle up the road. How much time is he going to gain, if any? It eventually cuts back, and it's EF. Pacing for Uran's GC and Movistar pacing for Enric Mas GC, which I think if the die is cast and we're in stage 20 and it's a matter of can you move up? You know, you are literally losing your top five position or podium position, you know, and you've got no chance to change that. I understand it. But we're in stage seven, first before the first rest day. We have Pogacar pretty much isolated and presumably flustered. You have the full team of Movistar and you just use it to basically neutralize the GC action. I don't think what they did is indefensible. It's just very, very negative and top five thinking, which, listen, maybe that's their goal. Fine, whatever.
Classification, mate.
Yeah, maybe that too. But if you actually want to do something here and, you know, listen, podium, you're going to need to knock out a lot of other people. Like Port and Thomas, they're still here in week three. They're going to destroy Mars and the TT. Like, anyway, I would have preferred if they'd attacked. To be honest, they had two satellite riders up the road. I preferred if Mars attacked and tried to gain some time on Pogacar. That would have been slightly less negative. EF, it is what it is. Sort of, I'm not too surprised. I mean, they got Nielsen Powers. They uploaded Lockie Morton's GPX file onto his head unit today, and he went into the bushes doing some off-roading. Powers, though, could be good for Iran if he attacks later. But, yeah, sorry, jokes aside, what's your take on the Movistar situation, pace and Carapaz, Benji?
Well, first of all, we have EF. I think that EF is a typical thing I expected. They did the same at Itzoya Basque Country in that one stage where Vingegaard was in the break, McNulty was in the second group, and EF started pacing in the final descent, right? Or the other way around?
Oh, I can't remember.
Somebody, EF paced somebody back while it wasn't needed because they wanted to keep a good position in GC. And they did it again today, and I'm not really surprised by it. The focus for UAE, for EF, for Uran, should be consistency throughout the stages. That's how he usually does, and that's how he keeps himself at the front of GC. And right now, we saw today that they lost one of their competitors again. Roglic is now, honestly, completely out of GC. I don't see a way for him to come back, and therefore, I do understand what they did. Now, Movistar is, I think it's somewhat a similar situation. I don't think they have a rider that can win here. It's just negative racing, I feel like, and I don't necessarily blame them for doing this, but it also just isn't too entertaining to see such stuff happening, and I think that's a factor in our criticism. I think tactically I can understand it, but it's also not the most the most clever thing, I guess, because if you put pressure on Pogacar himself to have to do the chasing here in this situation, then you're making sure that that is a competitor you can strike out in the future. Now, I don't think Pogacar is the imminent danger for Movistar because I don't think...
Why can't they attack him? They had four riders plus.
Are they good enough? Have we seen them being good enough this Tour de France?
Who's going to bring them back? They have...
Yeah, EF.
EF, maybe. Jesus. I mean, I guess this is just, you know, some teams come to the Tour to win. Some teams come trying to get top five, and that interplay will help out riders like Pogacar, who has the early lead on GC. That incumbent advantage helps out a lot. But Benji and I have kind of chopped and changed. That Movistar pacing eventually brought back Carapaz on the line, which is kind of crazy. So limiting any GC advantage from Carapaz. It was a really good move from Ineos. They pretty much invested nothing. They invested nothing today. Then Van Baal sat in the break, didn't take a pull. And Carapaz attacked on the last climb and got a pull from Van Baal, and Kwiatkowski and Castroviejo pulled for like 30 seconds on Signal Duchamp. So they invested literally nothing thanks to Jumbo Visma today. But I'll do the top 10 and the GC just for completeness. Moritz wins a minute 20 ahead of Sturban. It wasn't close. Then a minute 40 ahead of a group of Kort, Van der Poel, Asgreen, Bonnemore, Conrad, Van Aert, Van Moor, Godon. Matt ran out the top 10. So Van der Poel and Wout van Aert caught that G2 and eventually sprint around them, both looking absolutely cooked, Van der Poel and Wout van Aert. In terms of the GC group, it was Alaphilippe leading around Mas, Carapaz, Latour, Igita, Lutsenko, Vingegaard, Pogacar, Mollema, Bilbao. Is Thomas in here? I believe he is. So Richie Port's in there. So Thomas was dropping initially, it said on the race radio, but he made it back in, whereas Roglic couldn't make it in. Roglic finished on 9:03 with Buggy and Geschke, which was a full 4 minutes after. So here's the GC standings. Not much has actually changed, really. Yep. Just a few riders leapfrogging a lot. Van der Poel obviously still in the yellow jersey for stage tomorrow, 30 seconds ahead of Van Aert. Asgeren third on the 149. Moritz jumps 30 places to fourth on 301. Pogacar moves down to fifth on 343. But the person he's lost time to is Van Aert. He's now three minutes and 13 seconds behind Wout Van Aert. Not a disaster. We'll talk about, maybe do some grades in a second. Nibali jumps up loads. He's now on 412 on GC. That's not going to be enough for him to finish in the top 10, one wouldn't think. Alaphilippe, Lutsenko, Latour, Uran rounding up the top 10 on about 4 to 5 minutes. Vingegaard kind of close. Roglar is 33rd on 9 minutes. He's done. So,
The thing is, like...
Sorry, go on.
No, despite him losing time today, a lot of class by Roglic, because after the stage, the imminent thing he does just after the line is sees a kid by the side of the road, gives his beat on to the kid and continues onward. So I really appreciate that, and that shows that Roglic once again shows his class at the end of the stage that he did not entirely end happily, I'm saying. And that brings me towards, like, who are the winners and the losers in today's stage? And we're looking at UAE, who are arguably a loser, but they ended up with a relatively decent result for a loser, because their entire team is devastated today. Their weakness is shown. Every other team now knows that if tomorrow a 30-man breakaway gets loose and UAE can't stop it, it's going to be an entire day of working for UAE, and the break is most likely going to win unless there's another team that is not in the breakaway. So that's a factor there. But Pogacar himself didn't really have to do much. Now, he didn't react to Carapaz, whether that's because he couldn't or didn't want to.
I'm guessing
it's the second part. Yeah, I guess so as well. And I think that on paper, they ended relatively well for the situation we expected to have halfway the stage. So I'd put them on a draw today, knowing that perhaps a bit of a lose, knowing that their tactics, their team weakness was shown.
Exactly. We expected it, and maybe people thought we were overblowing it. They're like, oh, cool. How much does team strength really matter? Well, it's obvious to everybody now that this UAE team can be put under pressure from the get-go. And I think Pogacar pretty much escaped unscathed today, honestly. He gained time on Roglic. He didn't lose any time to any Ineos riders. He lost 3 minutes to Wout van Aert, who apparently is not in good condition compared to last year. 3 minutes, I mean... God, on the climbs, you might do that on one stage. So I think if I'm Pogacar, I'm super happy with how the day finished. That being said, I mean, we're looking at stage tomorrow, Benji. 151 Ks. His team will be buckled. They had to work for 6 to 7 hours today, full gas. We have a hard stage tomorrow. And like the collection of these three climbs, Ineos surely must try again, especially as we even have a climb straight out the gate. But yeah, 151Ks from Oyonnax to Le Grand Bonhomme. Starts out the gate with 5K, 6.6%. I think this is an opportunity to put Cavendish under OTL pressure. If you're Sagan and Colbrelli and Bike Exchange, maybe they will, maybe they won't. I think you can drop him out the gate. And then there's a valley then you can work with, say, Durbridge, Grandoy Janssen and Co. Mezgetz. Before some rolling climbs, 6Ks, 4%, 3Ks, 4%. Before we get into the meat of the action with 100Ks done, 6Ks, 8%, descent, Col de Rome, 9Ks, 9%, that's hard, short descent, not that long to recover, get back in some food, Col de la Colombière, 7.5Ks, 8.5%, which has, I'm pretty sure from memory, yes, the last K and a half is like over 10% gradient before the descent to the line. I think winning the stage will be Quintana from the break. He lost time on purpose today, but I think Ineos have to try again, Benji, and it wouldn't surprise me if I see another satellite rider in a break.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, to look at tomorrow, we need to look at today a bit more, I think, first of all. I think we were talking about winners and losers. I think we also need to take a look at what Jumbo is going to do in the coming days. They've got Van Aert on 30 seconds. They have Jonas Vingegaard as arguably GC leader now.
Clear.
Yeah, I think so as well, for me as well. 5 minutes 18 down. I don't think he's going to be climbing on the level of Pogacar. That's pretty sure in my eyes. So I'm looking at a potential top five perhaps for Jonas Vingegaard.
No, I think it's closer.
Yeah?
I think Vingegaard podium, pretty much a lock.
Are you sure about that?
Mate, he's 58. He's 60 kilos. He did that TT. That's big. That's big fucking power.
Pogacar.
Yeah?
Do you think that the third spot is going to be Jonas Vingegaard?
Why not? Why not, then? he did like, what, 6.2, 6.3 for 30? I think it's going to be goals,
but that's one spot. Like,
that's he's got to have, like, a
perfect moment here.
I don't know. It's got Wout van Aert. I mean, they just got to – yeah, okay, let's discuss
this. On podiums.
Yeah, it's probably more a safer bet, more experience. I'm probably overhyping him. How did TJV play this then, Benji? They got Wout up there but not up there very far. It's not like he got 10 minutes. Roglic, does he stay in the race to help as a domestique in, say, week three? And they got Jonas, he's on 5:18, which puts him at a minute 30 or so behind Pogacar, a minute, you know, give or take. How do they play this?
I think that either you go very far. I don't think you can use Roglic in this situation. He's not looking that great. He wasn't looking
good on the
bike today. So I think Roglic himself, I dare to say that it wouldn't surprise me if he's out of the race in the coming days as preparation for Vuelta instead, because I don't see it as being useful for the team in the imminent days. And if you have to wait till week three to be useful for Vingegaard, he's going to be struggling so much in the next couple of days as well. He was suffering today, and you could use the argument, well, Jumbo did that themselves by putting Wout van Aert in the breakaway, but nah, come on. If it's not today, it would have been the other days that Roglic was having the struggle. So in the end, how can they play it? I think I'd put Wout van Aert in the break again. Exactly the same thing. Why not?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, 5K, 6%, and then you've got that long. So he can be in the break, no problems for the first 100Ks. Gaining time. If I'm Quickstep, I try and get Alaphilippe in the break as well. I think Quickstep, the race situation wasn't perfect for them today. That Asgreen then.
They tried with Alaphilippe, but just didn't make it.
He didn't make the break there. He was trying to get into moves. I think the team that is most happy, despite Carapaz being brought back, is Ineos. It's obvious what they can do. They've got Thomas, who he's not looking great, but he's still. He's on the same time, 10 seconds behind Carapaz, 10 seconds behind Vingegaard. He's still in the fight. They have the strongest team probably on paper now, with Roglic not looking good. I would say Kwiatkowski and all that experience, Castroviejo, Dylan van Baarle, et cetera. They go through La Roche-sur-Theron tomorrow. I'm not sure if that's the same place Carapaz and Kwiatkowski attacked. We're in a break last year, but... yeah, getting a satellite rider in the break and then attacking again with Carapaz earlier tomorrow and then forcing Pogacar to do something is, I'd expect them to try that. And then Port, maybe they do it with Port, Benji. I think maybe Port's the man you attack with because he can do really good numbers. He needs the high mountains and these sort of long climbs. He's been, all these stages don't suit him as much. And he's got to make time back up. He's so far back, but not ridiculously far back.
Yeah, but I kind of feel like Thomas is the kind of attacking rider that I'd expect to go in breakaways.
Oh, he doesn't have legs right now.
Or just doesn't look like that. I don't know why. It just doesn't feel right. But
not from the break. I think he attacks from the GC group.
If you're Ineos and you see today, then you do see a breakaway as an opportunity to take time back on a team like UAE or put them under pressure, you know? So I still think that they should at least attempt it with somebody.
True. Maybe they go satellite. I'm not sure. I think they definitely should try something tomorrow because the UAE guys will be pretty tired. The problem for Jumbo Visma is, you can try what you like. Pogacar's going to be putting Wout van Aert under a lot of pressure on those climbs at best, a lot of pressure / probably putting a lot of time into him.
Yep.
Like there's that descent finish, not so long. But yeah, I can't wait to see tomorrow. Hopefully it's really open with that early climb. What about Astana, Benji? They didn't really get in the move today. They missed out.
They really missed out. Ugo Ull was the only rider of Astana in the breakaway. Have so many riders that fit on the parkour today.
Yeah.
And that could have contended for the stage win against Mohoric. They didn't do so. Lutsenko is still up there in GC, top 10 still. Yep. If you count the riders that gained time in GC out, then he's top 5 or something, or top 6 in GC right now. So I'd expect them to still go in the breakaway despite having Lutsenko so far up. I would expect so. They've got Fuglsang, they have Omar Fraile as well. I think I had Fraile for the stage, but today we had Magnus Cort Nielsen going extremely strong for Jever Education first. I think that we're going to see the likes of a Valgren try and stuff like that as well in the coming days. And I think that Astana and Yev are the ones I'm looking at for these breakaway stages, together with, like you said, Quintana, who clearly lost time on purpose or had a bad day. We didn't see it, but I'd expect it to be for the breakaway.
I believe.
It's for the green jersey, man.
I believe in Quintana.
There's so much difference from yesterday when it comes to the state of these GC teams. And there's going to be a lot of thinking tonight on what teams are in a good situation right now, who is not. I think EF is looking to be a stronger team than expected team-wise. Higita's performing really well. Yep. I think that they can play that out. Ron's not going to attack. Like, we know that. But what if you try and get Higita in an attack like what happened today and gain 3 minutes in the breakaway? Like, stuff like that could really play a role. And who's going to catch Higita? Who's going to mark Higita in the first place? I think that's a rider which you can play so aggressively and gain stuff. Emmanuel Buchmann, we haven't seen much of him, but he also said he wanted to go in breakaways. Guillaume Martin, same story. These are the names I'm expecting. Aurelien Paré-Peintre has not gone in the break yet. Nos Peters, those are the names. And there's so many of these names that could go into breakaways. Yes, indeed. I think that when it comes to Alaphilippe, indeed trying to go in the breakaway at the start, or I think a Cataneo would be nice for a stage, but if you don't go with Alaphilippe, then you might as well keep him with Alaphilippe. I think that GC should be more important in that team.
At the end of the day, Pogacar didn't have to close a single gap himself on this stage. He lost 3 minutes to a rider he'll back himself to beat handily in the mountains and gain time on Roglic, the pre-race joint favourite. The problem is, so that means tomorrow it needs to be the goal, whichever way you want to do it, from the GC group attacking with a second, third threat, tier threat like Port, or from a break, satellite rise, whatever. The goal has to be tomorrow, make Pogacar do something in the wind for a long time. And, put him under pressure and wait for the heat. It's supposed to be hot soon. Yes, Benji.
Mathieu van der Poel, he's now sitting in the yellow jersey. How long do we think he can keep it? Because, like, today, game time, he's going to try this again in the next couple of days.
About 22 hours.
I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I think that if he gained 10 minutes today, I would have counted him as a GC threat.
Oh, my God.
It's Mathieu van der Poel. He's proven everyone wrong every step of the way. He's not going to be climbing at the level of the others, at the level of a Pogacar and so forth, but he's going to be climbing close to the level of, I don't know, a Lewis Hamilton, perhaps?
No way.
Come on. It's van der Poel. He's going to surprise us. You know it. Man, you know, like, it's going to happen.
He's like 75 kilos. You got tomorrow, Benji. Tomorrow they do back-to-back 6Ks, 8%, 9Ks,
everybody wants it.
7.5Ks, 8.5%, finishing with 10% pinches with no flat in between.
He's going to be on the break tomorrow.
Do you reckon? Spent at the end. I don't know about that. I think he loses yellow tomorrow. Probably. Do you think Van Aert takes it off him tomorrow? I think Van Aert, or do you think Pogacar goes into yellow?
Pogacar should just destroy everybody tomorrow. if his team is not spent before the last two climbs, use the team yourself and just drop everybody. Make a statement before the rest day arrives.
I'd like to see what Moritz recovery is like. If I'm Moritz, I would try and get in the break as well. Yes. Imagine if Bahrain had Padun here. Whew, if they had Padun, Haig, Moritz.
Yeah,
that would just be an unbelievably strong
Landa, Caruso. Side.
Yeah, well, they did the Giro program. This is one of the most exciting stages of the year. If you look at the results, you see, okay, it's not crazy, but there were times there where we're like, is Wavanna going to take 15 minutes? I'll certainly remember it for a long time. I think question marks for Movistar and Trek perhaps, and maybe Total Energy. I'm less harsh on Total, Benji, honestly, like throwing one rider up the front.
We're underrating Latour. I think he might be an overperformance at the end of the Tour de France. I think that Pierre Latour has a time trial. I think he has decent climbing. I think he can top 7 GC.
Yeah, I think so. Not great maybe for those teams. Jumbo Visma, great plan, good initial execution. It's not the result they wanted for sure, but you can't blame them for having a crack, and it made sense. I think whether Wout's up the road or not, they got to sit in all day. And if Roglic were going to get dropped there, as he did, he was going to get dropped regardless, you know, of whatever way they'd race. But yeah, shame to see him like that. Do you think they should keep him in the race, Benji, as a domestique for week three, just quickly?
I don't know. I find it, it's up to it depends on his health, you know, because like they will know better than us when they need to pull out a rider like Roglic from this race and what his goals will be after this. Because Tokyo's coming, he's going to be selected. He is selected, I think I read it today, for both the time trial and the road race, I think. And then finally, we also have the fact that there's a Vuelta and he's not winning the Tour, so he's going there, you know that. So I think that it might be a better option to pull him out and go for the Vuelta. But I would love to see him fighting, but only if it doesn't strike bad to his health.
Yeah, exactly. Like if they do have reasonable belief that he can, you know, improve over the rest day and stage 10 before maybe Madison on the Von 2 stage, keep him in. But if he's, you know, you don't want to create another Pino situation either. Yeah. So that's something, I mean, we don't know his health. So but it's just something to bear in mind. I guess, yeah, I can't wait for tomorrow's stage. I had something else to say, but I'm forgetting Benji. I think, yeah, Pogacar, it wasn't too hot today. It's getting hot soon. I think projections of like 30 degrees in Europe. It's getting very hot in the Pyrenees where I am. That's just something to watch. I don't think he's as good in the heat. And they mentioned after the TT, I love the cool conditions. So just something to watch as well. Maybe Ryder's
putting under pressure. I think QE called Total and said, we're going to shut out your pipeline, your old pipeline. And if you don't start pacing now, then you've got no oil. So I think that's how Total went to the front.
You do a very good job pacing. We'd be keen to hear your thoughts down below. Really, it's a tough and messy stage to recap with so much happening. Who do you think were the winners and losers of today's stage? I think Ineos, they're just there. They're still staying in the fight with three guys. And just never count out the team that's won the Tour de France so much in the last 10 years. So I think they're Pogacar's big threat, but I'm obviously high on Vingegaard too. But until tomorrow's stage recap, ciao.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.